Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find John chapter 15 and verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. And if you would stand this morning in honor of God's word and follow along as I read. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1 and through verse 7. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Let's pray together. Father, thank you and praise you and bless you for your word this morning. Your word that declares that Christ is our solid rock, as our choir just sung. And your word that says that Jesus is the true vine. Father, speak to us this morning. And let us encounter you and experience your manifest presence through your word and your spirit in our meeting together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and you may be seated. We are continuing our study in John's Gospel. It is still Thursday night of Passion Week, Thursday night of Jesus' last week on earth before his Friday crucifixion. Judas has already left the group. And Jesus is remaining with 11 disciples. If you look at the end of chapter 14, specifically verse 31, it seems that Jesus and those 11 have left the upper room. Again, notice the end of John 14, 31. "Arise, let us go from here." Seems that they are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. Most likely on their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have passed the temple. And seeing on the temple the image of the golden vine would be in their minds and appropriate for what we're going to hear this morning in John chapter 15. Remember in John 14, Jesus had told his disciples, "I'm about to leave you, but fear not, because I'm going to provide for you my helper. And Jesus foreshadowed the coming of the Holy Spirit, promising his disciples a helper, a comforter, an advocate who will be with you and help you when I am gone. And we'll see more of the Holy Spirit when we get to chapter 16. But this morning, as we begin chapter 15 in John's Gospel, again, Jesus has told them, I'm about to leave. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. But here are some other instructions. And these instructions have to do with relationships. And so beginning today and over the next three Sundays, we're going to hear Jesus give us, his 21st century followers of Christ, he's going to give us instructions about relationships, relationships to him. That's where we'll be today. Next Sunday, relationships with one another. And then on March the 26th, relationships with the world. So three Sundays, thinking about relationships. Our relationship with Christ, our relationships with others, and our relationship with the world. How should we behave and relate when Jesus is gone? Here in John chapter 15, let me identify some parts of this parable. Jesus, there in verse 1, says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus' seventh and final I am statement in the Gospel of John. What were his I am statements? It's when Jesus declared for anyone who could hear and now for anyone who can read, he declared, I am God. When he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. And when Thomas asked in John 14, Lord, how do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And then today, I am the true vine. We also see there in verse 1 the identification of God the Father. In the New King James, the word is rendered vine dresser. If you are reading the King James this morning, an ancient word, my father is the husbandman. It's not a word that we use today. If you're reading the NIV or the New Living Translation, my father is the gardener. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. And then in verses 2 and 3, he speaks about the identity of the branches. The branches are believers, but they're in two categories. Listen to this. There are the authentic believers, and there are the apparent believers. Did you catch that? There are the authentic believers who are the branches, and then there are the apparent believers. Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God the Father, the vine dresser, the gardener, the husbandman, takes away. So who would be an example of an apparent believer? Well, Judas would be. Judas was not an authentic believer. He was an apparent believer, not really a believer at all. Also there in verse 2, and every branch that bears fruit, he, God the Father, God the vine dresser, God the husbandman, God the gardener, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We were just talking in my Sunday school small group this morning. Someone who knew a gentleman that owned a peach orchard. And about how he would prune those trees. Even cutting away leaves and taking off smaller peaches to give larger peaches room to grow. And all of the work that was involved. But all of the work that was involved was for the good of the fruit. And brothers and sisters, let me just remind you this morning that there may be times in your life in which God the Father, the vine dresser, the husbandman, the gardener prunes your branches for various reasons. And can I just say to you this morning, anytime God the Father prunes our branches, that it is for our good and His glory. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, don't waste your pruning. That may sound a little odd, because when we think of pruning, we normally think of a trial, we think of a tribulation, we think of a difficult time in our lives. And I think we're right when we think of such. And it's probably not going to be easy, and it's probably not going to feel good. But remember that your heavenly Father, the vine dresser, the husbandman, the gardener, He knows what's best for you. So don't waste your pruning. He prunes, verse 2 says, that it may bear more fruit. God the Father's goal when He prunes your life and my life is to make us more like Jesus and bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean, you authentic believers, because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we again have Jesus as the true vine, God the Father as the vine dresser, and then the branches, the authentic believers and the apparent believers. Look there in verse 4. In verse 4, you have the one imperative of this entire text, the one command. I want you to remember this today. If you don't remember anything else, remember this word, this commandment, this imperative from the mouth of the Lord Jesus: abide. Abide in me. Your translation may say remain. Abide in me. And beginning there in verse 4, notice all of the different times that this word is used. And why was it used that way? To emphasize importance, to get across a point. Verse 4, abide in me, abides in the vine, abide in me. Verse 5, he who abides in me. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Just in those few verses, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, you'll find that word abide or that word remain 7 times. And an additional 3 times in verses 9 and 10. And so here's the main idea. Here's the one single point. Here is the big picture. Abide, brothers and sisters. Abide in Christ. Well, Brother Richard, what does abide or remain mean? In today's text, it has at least 3 meanings. Number 1, to abide is to believe in Christ. To believe in Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Number 2, abide means continue. Continue, persevere, remain where you are in a particular position, and the particular position is in Christ. And so, believe Christ, continue in Christ, and then number 3, obey Christ. That's what abide or remain means in today's text. But now let's talk about what are the consequences, what are the results, what happens when an authentic believer abides in Christ. Number 1, we bear fruit. You know, it's interesting to me that the imperative, the commandment in today's text, the commandment from Jesus Christ is not bear fruit. That's not the commandment. The commandment is abide in me. Do you see that? It doesn't say anywhere in the imperative form, in a commandment form, bear fruit. What Jesus says is abide in me and you will bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the result, it's the consequence, it's what happens when an authentic believer abides in Christ. Look there, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's not a question of if we will bear fruit. It's an understood fact that if you are an authentic believer and you are in Christ and you abide in Christ, that you will bear fruit. Well, Brother Rich, what are you talking about bearing fruit? You're talking about peaches? You're talking about apples? What are you talking about? We're talking about tangible, identifiable proof of your relationship with Christ. Are you bearing fruit? You say, I don't know. Am I bearing fruit? Ask a friend. Do you see any fruit, spiritual fruit in my life? Better yet, ask your spouse. Ask your spouse, am I bearing fruit? If you claim to be a follower of Christ, if you claim to be an authentic believer, am I bearing fruit? In the Old Testament, turn over to Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to verses 1 through 7. Prophet Isaiah records for us this similar parable of the vine and the vineyard and bearing fruit. And when we get to the end of verse 7, you'll see, at least in the Old Testament, here's what fruit was considered. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. And he dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. And so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. By the way, that fruit, grapes, from what I have read this past week, is the most prevalent fruit in the entire world. Grapes. He expected it to bring forth good fruit, grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. So if you're not tracking here in Isaiah 5, God the Father is the owner of this vineyard. And the nation of Israel is the vine. But they have not produced good grapes. They've produced wild grapes. And beginning there in verse 5, he's going to tell us what now is going to happen. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. And then look here at the end of verse 7, you see examples of fruit. He looked for justice, but behold, there was oppression. So the first fruit would be justice. And then secondly, for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. So in the Old Testament, using this same type of language and this same type of parable, this same type of allegory, the fruit that are identified are justice and righteousness. And then we look at the New Testament. And that list is expanded. Galatians chapter 5. I suspect that you perhaps are more familiar with these fruit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, if you remain in Christ, if you abide in Christ, brothers and sisters, you will bear fruit. It's not a question. And if you're wondering, then, this morning, well, am I bearing fruit? Again, ask a friend. Ask a neighbor. Ask another brother and sister in Christ. Am I bearing fruit? Because if you are remaining in Christ, you will Back to our text in John 15. When we remain in Christ, it proves that we are saved. It proves that we are saved. Look there in verse 6. Jesus says this, but using the negative, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Because you see, the conclusion is, if you're not in Christ, you're not bearing fruit. There's no middle ground there. Even though we love the middle ground, for many of us, it's where we're most comfortable. But Jesus says, if you're not abiding in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And so the positive of that would be, when we abide in Christ, we're proving that in fact we are saved. And brothers and sisters in Christ, a watching world needs to see our fruit. A watching world needs to see our justice and our righteousness and our love and our joy and our peace and our patience and our gentleness and our understanding and our self-control. There should not be any problem for us proving that in fact we are followers of Christ. And then there in verse 7, abiding in Christ means that we will bear fruit. Abiding in Christ means that we will prove that we are saved. And abiding in Christ accomplishes answered prayer. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Not simply a genie in a bottle recipe. If you do X, ask the Lord for Y, and it will be granted. That's not what Jesus says here. But again, we see that idea of abiding, meaning believing in Jesus, continuing in Jesus, and obeying Jesus. And when that is true of us, ask whatever we desire. Because see, at that point, our desires will be His desires. When we are believing in Christ, when we are continuing in Christ, when we are obeying Christ, then what Christ has done, He's taken our desires, He has cast them aside, He has put in us His desires, and then when we pray, not our desires, but His desires, ask anything that we will, and it will be granted. You say, Brother Richard, well, I have asked for. Well, were you believing in Jesus? Were you continuing in Jesus? Were you obeying Jesus? Somewhere perhaps there was a disconnect. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The last truth that I want you to see from this text is a warning. What if you are not an authentic branch, but you are just simply an apparent branch, like Judas? Look back in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, God the Father, God the vine dresser, God the husbandman, God the gardener takes away. Well, to where does He take those apparent believers? Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. An allusion there to the flames of hell. Because you see, that's the difference between an authentic believer and an apparent believer. The authentic believer is abiding in Christ, believing Christ, continuing in Christ, obeying Christ. And so this morning, how is your relationship with Christ? Are you abiding? Are you remaining? Are you bearing fruit? If you're not bearing fruit, are you really in Christ? Because Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. You'll bear much fruit. And then he says, you'll bear more fruit. What about our relationship with the Lord? Next week will be our relationship with one another. Then we'll talk about relationship with the world. But today, abide. Remain in Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? If you're here today and God has spoken to you this morning through His Word and through His Spirit, and it has become obvious to you and apparent to you that, in fact, you are not in Christ. In just a moment, after we finish praying, Brother Chris is going to come and lead us. And I want to invite you this morning to believe in Jesus for the very first time as your Lord and as your Savior. We'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And if today you've come to the understanding that you aren't in Christ, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles. Make your way here to the front. Let me lead you in praying a prayer of salvation. Admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, calling on Him to save you. You may be here this morning and you know that you're in Christ, but you also know that you're not obeying Jesus. You're not bearing fruit as you should be. And so today, maybe you want to recommit or rededicate your life and allow God the Father, God the vine dresser, the husbandman, the gardener to prune you for your good and for His glory. Maybe you're a guest this morning. And God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. We would love to welcome you today. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the parable, the allegory of the true vine and the vine dresser and the branches. Thank you, Lord, that your word has spoken to us today. I pray that we have had ears to hear and eyes to see and now hearts that will be receptive to how you want us to respond. Have your way in our lives, in our church, and in our midst. We ask and pray this morning in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, ready to welcome you. Would you come today responding to God's word?